This is study number 8, Studies on the Time of the End. In the last studies, we were talking about the two horns like a lamb and how this country was prophesied to exist in Revelation 13 and so on to launch an end time gospel for an end time setting from the most holy place of Jesus to lighten the earth with his glory, to bring the probation of the world to an end instead of, you know, piecemeal like we see in Daniel 2 of the middle man, first Babylon, then, you know, Medo-Persia, and then Greece, you know, and it takes a whole bunch of time. God wants to give all the people that are living at the same time an incredible opportunity to hear and see what God and his government is like. Isn't that just like the kind of God that we're learning about? And isn't that the kind we really want? That is that good? That when he reveals to us, you know, when he breaks through the lies and the garbage of Satan, all the sick stuff that he's portrayed God as and his kingdom as, and we break through that, and we get into the sunlight, see, then we can make a decision. And I think most of us will say, man, if that's what it's like, see, and we see what sin is really, really bad. Really bad, and we see how good God really is, how really good he is, how bad sin is, and how good God is. See, and we're on to something, man. We're excited about being with God. We're excited about living forever. See, and we also have a burden. We want to take as many people with us as we can. Because they've been deceived too. They're all messed up. They're like what Jesus said and what Stephen said. Father, forgive them. Lay not this charge upon them. For they know not what they're doing. They don't understand. They're messed. They're all mixed up. And they're confused by the devil. See. So we've been looking at this incredible hijacking that this beast from the bottomless pit did on this awesome country. This is what Satan does. God says that in the Garden of Eden, when he created the earth, the devil's watching all of this. This is after Satan has been kicked out of heaven and the evil angels, and he's making a new world. As far as I know, this is the only world that God created after the rebellion in heaven. Now, I might be wrong about that. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. And so God, this is the world that he created. So here we got a devil and evil angels watching this. And we see God creating all these things. Let there be this and creating this and that and glass and birds and sunlight and dark, you know, all of that and the fish and the water. And then he finally forms man. And then there's the tree of life, and there's the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And then there's the Sabbath. He blessed the Sabbath day. He created the Sabbath day for man. And he put a special blessing on it. What does Satan do? He ends up moving it from the seventh day to the first day. He hijacks it. He causes it to be for another reason. And he knows what he's doing, because that day, Sunday, all it is it's a fake plastic bouquet of flowers. You know, those plastic flowers, they look beautiful from a distance. They'll never fade, but they're plastic. They don't have any fragrance. The real ones are beautiful. See? And that's the same thing with these two lamb-like horns. The French Revolution takes place. Satan's got this new power from beneath, a new manifestation of satanic power, we're told, comes out of the bottomless pit. That's hell. That's from Satan. That's his headquarters down in the bottomless pit. But what does this beast do? Like what the papal horn did. It assimilated Rome, pagan Rome, that is. It assimilated Greece. It assimilated Medo-Persia. It assimilated Babylon. That's why you see all the heads of all these different kingdoms on the leopard beast in Revelation. That's what Satan does. He hijacks things of God. This guy can't come up with a thing on his own. So that's what he does. And so he hijacked through the Jacobins that we just talked about in the last study. They stole these two heavenly principles from the young American Republic and used these two principles as slogans for propaganda to enforce doctrines and customs that belonged to the Prince of Darkness. And the low-hanging fruit is that a guy that started Hustler magazine, I don't have to name details here, but you know, he's got butt-naked women and all this stuff, and you know, up to this time there was you had to go on the undercover and all that. But what was his argument? Well, freedom of speech. See, so we've had all these Supreme Court fusses over freedom of speech, and you can't yell fire in a crowded theater if it's not true, you know, back and forth and on and on and on. See, we have arguments going on. And then we got the principle of religious liberty, you know, freedom, separation of church and state. And so there's the atheists that say, well, we can't say God because that's a violation of church and state. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's got nothing to do with church. You're not going to church. Church is how you practice your faith. Giving glory to God as the author, as the creator, as the supreme deity, the supreme being, the governor of the universe, that's not practicing your faith. That's acknowledging the truth, giving glory to God. It's proper and right and appropriate for a nation to do such. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. We have to know the difference between the two. So this French revolution, the Jacobins stole these two heavenly principles and used it for propaganda, for doctrines and customs belonging to the devil. And so God's clarion call in Revelation 18 is to come out of her, my people. Some of the changes in social and political affairs may be worth considering. And we see the mass media, the new media of mass communication. And used to be that the media would just report the news, the old days, you know, I mean, I'm outdated, maybe some of yous. Some of yous are older than me or old as I am, and you remember John Cameron Swayze and Hunkley and Brinkley reports and Howard K. Smith and you know, different people from the past. And a lot of times you wouldn't be able to tell if they were liberal or Democratic or Republican. They just, you know, gave you the news. But today, the mass communications by the media, because we, you know, the idea of freedom of speech, what are we hearing 24/7? Lies, corruption, truth withheld, all under the guise of, you know, freedom of speech. Is it really freedom, though? So these breakdown of the news media in the democratic processes are regarded by some people as these political advancements, these lies. You know, it's hard to find somebody that's upright these days, isn't it? So, but today you can hardly trust anything you read at all. And so they either see these things as politically bribing or bamboozling us or manipulating us or threatening us. People have acquired power which they are incapable of exercising. They're just drunk on wanting power. But they have no convictions of the accountability of having that power means. You know, there is a God in heaven. They might blow that off. They may regret ever wanting to have that power. And so governments elect people or put people in, they have lost powers to govern because they don't know how. And so the two horns, like a lamb, have in its beginning tremendous blessings. But human nature, it was said, and this is the evolutionary idea, is inherently good. Therefore, when the evil restrictions and hindrances are removed, and they call those evil, and hindrances, restrictions are evil, and hindrances are evil, when you can't kill somebody, when you can't lie against somebody, when you can't steal something from somebody, when you can't go out and commit adultery, they call that a restriction. And if we can remove those by these two freedoms of civil and religious liberty, humanity will then inevitably progress. See? So, just to use the example of marriage, if we can remove the restriction of marriages between one man and one woman, not between one man and six women, or two women, or two dudes, or a dog and a man, or your computer and you. But no, it's between one man and one. If we remove that, then we'll see how good human nature really is and how they can flourish and prosper. This is a lie. This is corruption. And soon, human nature will outgrow all the evils of society, but such dreams are based on ignorance of the most established of all lessons of history. And so, a century ago, there were people that taught that you can live a Christian life without Christian doctrine. Without any teachings. You can just be a Christian and practice any kind of life you want to. Those who claim to show it in Christian lands are simply cuckoos in a nest of Christian doctrine where they built not, but whose warm environment makes them what they are. And so these watered down versions of Christianity and civil liberty make changes in travel, communication. They make transformations in the intellectual and religious climate of an entire civilized world. They present Darwinism in biology, and they connect it together with totalitarian socialism. And people are all Christians, see. And so now you have people that would be ordinarily in times past, according to biblical plain statements, would be considered a debauchery, a corruption, now is looked at as God made me this way, it's perfectly normal, and you're the bad guy if you think it's a sin. Horace Greeley once said, "It is impossible mentally or socially to enslave a Bible reading people. The principles of the Bible are the groundwork of human freedom. But with the Bible repudiated or unknown, what protection has the modern world against idiotic superstitions, mass hysteria, civil and religious tyranny? The French Revolution, which our world is repeating, shows that there is no protection under such circumstances. So, it's coming, the idea is coming in terrifying power that Bible principles everywhere are now arousing to frenzy the mass hysteria of multiplied millions almost overnight. They don't like these biblical principles. And so we see this happening right now. So this beast from the Lamb that has these two horns like a lamb turns out to be, as we have already mentioned, and I'm just touching on some of these things in passing, but this, we're still talking about these two horns like a lamb, turns out to be a deceiver, that's the false prophet, and then the false prophet ends up speaking as a dragon. We see this in Revelation 13, verse 11. So it's two horns, at first civil and religious liberty, are now becoming transformed before our eyes into instruments of cruelty and oppression. These twin fiends, civil and religious despotism, born of an unholy alliance of ignorance and superstition, cradled and fed by theophobia. See, we got homophobia and all the other phobias, but there is a theophobia. And a hatred of all things divine, which is natural to unredeemed men. See, we are, you know, the Lord wants to lighten the earth with glory, hoping that these unredeemed fallen beings will see something better and be convicted and want that. Unfortunately, some won't. A lot of them won't. And it'll stir up this frenzy of mass hysteria and hatred against those who understand this and those that live this and give that witness. And so the morning of the prophetic time of the end dawned brightly on the buoyant hopes of man. This young nation with two lamb-like horns would surely soon cure all the ills and evils of human society, but the riches and material prosperity that resulted from these two freedoms brought forgetfulness of the true source of all wisdom and blessing. You know, these atheists, these socialists, they think there's a money tree up here somewhere. They get in charge and they get us to all wear pajamas and ride bicycles and we can't have this and we can't do that. And where do they think the money's going to come from, see? And so there's been a corporate forgetfulness of the true source of all wisdom and blessing. So now, in the unreasoning frenzy of mass hysteria, the nations are in a mood to obey any false messiah who promises relief from tension and fear. And that should tell you what's going on in the politics today. People are making all kinds of ridiculous, unreasonable promises. It's not based on anything but just a lot of hot air. The sad truth is that human nature is just as cruel and wicked today as it ever has been in the past. A few are willing to be saved, but the entire human race never will be. The wound on human nature is incurable. And there is no cure for it. There's no way Jesus could come here and, you know, do some patchwork and just help fix us up, you know. New paint job, new put a new motor in. You know, you've done that with cars. No, he had to actually take our fallen natures and incorporate it into his experience and force it, this humanity that is rebellious by nature, to obey God's law, even by thought. And when he was doing that, he was rotting out a new humanity. When he created the first human, Adam, in the Garden of Eden, there was no hard, you know, work to do. It was a blessing. He formed man with his hands. He didn't just call him into existence like he did everything else. It says he formed him out of the dirt with his hands. He formed him with his hands. And then he bent over and he breathed on him. He kissed him. The breath of lives. See, all life comes from Christ. And Adam became a living soul. But when he created the last Adam, the next Adam, when that new human race came, that was done with conflict, obedience, suffering, and death. The humanity that died on the cross was not the same humanity that came forth from the grave, from the tomb. That humanity that came forth from the tomb was a brand spanking new creation of a new human race, unlike the one of old. There were similar things, but totally different, totally better, because it no longer was fallen. So the human race that fell, its wound is incurable. Today, with unprecedented opportunities and blessings, this fallen humanity is doing exactly as unregenerate men have always done during all the centuries before. And what is that? Decorating the tombs of the martyrs of the past, but lighting the faggot for the unpopular heroes of the present. That's the ultimate Dragonian language. Ellen White, in closing this study on the two horns, she says this, in the Great Controversy, page 608. To human wisdom, all this now seems impossible. But I think, now I'm talking, I just quoted the first sentence, but I'm saying to those of us who are living in 2020, we're seeing what's happening. Right before our very eyes. We've never seen this before. Now, maybe there were versions of this in other countries when Joseph Stalin was in charge back in the 1950s, when he, you know, he was cruel and so on in other times in other nations. But we're seeing something happening amongst us right now with all the shutdowns and all the lies that were being told. She says, to human wisdom, all this seems impossible, but as the restraining spirit of God shall be withdrawn from men, and they shall be under the control of Satan, who hates the divine precepts, there will be strange developments. Strange developments. The heart can be very cruel when God's fear and love are removed. May God help us as we ponder these things. And may we continuously pray as we become biblically literate. Study the Bible. And the Bible is not just a normal book. That Bible, that Word of God, will nurture the fear and love of God in you. Fear is a good thing. Fear is the beginning of wisdom, Solomon tells us in the book of Proverbs. Fearing God's a good thing. That's what the first angel's message says. Fear God and give glory to Him. See, Fear and love. Fear and love is good. God loves us. But he's holy. He hates sin because sin is no good. It hurts, it destroys, it kills, it terrifies people. And the people that are, perpetrating this hateful idea, they too are consumed by it. They're not happy. They're insane themselves. They're never at ease. They're never peaceful. They might laugh at a moment, but the rest of the time they're always paranoid about something. They don't know if they're getting cancer, somebody's against them, somebody's talking about them, who's really their friends, who's not their friends, if they got a lot of money, people hitting them up. They don't know what to believe. They don't know if their wife is cheating on them. Maybe they're cheating on their wives. Maybe they're stealing from their boss. All kinds of stuff. Maybe somebody's poisoning your food. This goes on and on. It's horrible. Sin is a horrible thing. Fear, God's fear, and love, when it's removed, the heart of a human being can be very cruel. So this is the end of study number 8. It's a shorter one. But it's just to introduce us to the ideas of these two horns, of the lamb-like origin of the horns, of this gentle giant that came from the land in this end time setting. Remember the promise in Daniel 12, verse 10. The wicked shall not understand, but the wise will. May we be of the wise and understand to be a blessing, not only for ourselves, but for those around us, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.